Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Amen. Praise God. Are you ready for the word this morning? Let's stand to our feet this morning as we get started. Let's pray together. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you that as we, your people, stand in your presence today, thank you that your Spirit gives us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and revealed by and through your word. Thank you today. We'll never be the same, and we'll go up higher individually and corporately, and we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory for it now in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed with that said amen. Look at your neighbor and said, you're about to be blessed. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, open your Bibles with me. We'll get there in a moment to Luke chapter 18. As we begin today, I want to entitle today's one-time message before we receive communion today, The Church That Walks With God. The Church That Walks With God. Today we're going to be talking about the importance of the church's walk with God. In other words, we are the church, the body of Christ, members in particular. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, then you're part of the body of Christ or the church. And what we're talking about today is the importance of our walk with God, and more importantly, the church's walk with God. What that actually looks like and the place our faith plays in it. Amen. So if you would open there with me, if you haven't already, I will too, and turn to Luke chapter 18, and we want to read verses beginning with verse 1 through verse 8. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Verse 8, and I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, today there are a number of lessons here, two of which is our persistence in prayer and faith that is needed in the believer's life. Jesus, in this parable, and just in case you wonder what a parable is, Jesus told stories. But a parable, the word parable actually means to throw along the side of. In other words, it is a natural illustration to explain a spiritual truth that Jesus is trying to convey to us. And what we will do today in this story is primarily focus on two verses. Not the whole of the story itself, but verse 1 and verse 8 for time's sake, which talks about the importance of prayer and faith in the church's walk with God. In other words, in our walk with God, the importance of prayer and faith to us today. Amen. Now, as we find in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, if this very thought is echoed here, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The Passion Translation says, since we are approaching the end of all things, and in case you did not know, since the day of Pentecost, we have been in the last days. But after 2,000 years, according to the scripture, we are in the last of the last days, no known as the last age or the dispensation of the age of grace, or what is known as the church age. It is known as the last days or the last of the last days we're in. And it says, since we're approaching the end of all things, be intentional, purposeful, and self-control so that you can be given to prayer. This implies that in the last days, there's going to be so much bidding for our attention, both against our faith and our life of prayer. The very things that are important that will keep us strong or growing and a vibrant living relationship with God that are pointed to our spiritual walk, you're going to have everything that's going to be bombard us and bombard your faith and your prayer walk with God. We need to be warned about this so that we do not fall like the rest of the world, and we do not fall like the scripture prophesies and warns us that in the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There, that's recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. If we go back to verse 1 of Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, as we go back here, and it says that he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this goal, that men always ought to pray and not to faint. Amen. And so notice here, it says, one translation says, never lose hope. Men always ought to pray and not faint. Never lose hope and become discouraged. That's what one translation says. So effective prayer, everybody say effective prayer. What effective prayer does is keeps us from losing hope and becoming discouraged. See, prayer is not just some duty, some religious have to. It is a part of a spiritual walk with God that strengthens us and enables us through effective prayer, keeps us from not only losing hope and becoming discouraged, but actually walking with God and the way that God intended us to walk as His church. Amen. And one way that the church walks with God is through persistent faith in prayer. You know, there is no prayer that's answered outside of faith in the prayer you pray. In other words, we're going to find that faith has to be based upon the Word of God, and so therefore all effective prayer is based upon the foundation of the Word of God. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's all right. This is something that we should all know. It is through us knowing the Word of God, every time we pray, we should expect God is hearing and answering what we pray, because we are returning His Word back to Him that He already promised to hear and answer. Can I get amen? This is the difference between the prayer of the church and the prayer of the world that Jesus warned about, that not be about vain repetition, that think that you're heard by many words. In other words, it's one thing to pray and say many words and just to pray. It's another thing to pray the way God told us to pray, to take His Word and return back to Him so that He can do what He already promised to do for you and I, to enforce His will on earth through His church, and that through His body, and that's what He's called us to be a part of. And so one way that the church walks with God is through persistent faith in prayer. And you know, we should all in here today, if you hear nothing else, is this is about our walk with God. Our walk with God is so precious. It's so valuable. And you're going to see clearly why, because not only is this parable that Jesus is talking about illustrating this, but it's so many other things that we will end with today, you will see. And so Matthew, when I said that one way the church walks with God is through persistent faith in prayer, as we see illustrated here, we also reminded in the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Notice He said this, ask and it shall be given. Everybody say ask. Seek and you shall find. Everybody say seek.
knock and it shall be opened unto you. Notice here, he said to ask, seek, and knock. What this is implying here is that this is something through prayer we do daily. It's, in other words, we pray as we ask, as we seek, as we knock. It said that God hears, God opens, God answers. Amen. And God meets a daily set of needs are met through answered prayer. This is part of not only a close relationship and walk with God, but what God intends our prayer walk to produce, fruitfulness in our life. Our life should bear fruit that's different from the world. People should understand and recognize the difference between the church and the world is the presence of God in our lives and the answer that God has moved and working mightily in our lives, that things are happening in our lives that can be explained no other way than God Himself has answered and showed up and showed off. So we see here, this is so true, and how prayer plays a vital and an important part of our walk with God. This necessity of our prayer, once again, not a duty of prayer or the necessary obligation of prayer, but the relationship that is built through our prayer life with God, our walk with God. Part of it is built through a relationship of talking to God and fellowshipping with God. That's what prayer should be. It's not all about what we ask for. It can be the highest form of prayer, which is praise and worship, us just worshiping Him and thanking Him and declaring His goodness, quoting what His Word says, reminding ourselves of His faithfulness and His goodness. Magnify Him every day. Oh, let us magnify the Lord together. I will bless the Lord, as Psalms 34:1 says. I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At all times, His praise shall continually be in our mouths. This is part of prayer that is not just asking, but proclaiming and declaring His goodness and His mercy and His faithfulness to us. It makes God of the Bible, the God who lives in us, and we have a relationship even more real and growing. It grows. Your relationship, your walk with God grows through persistent and faith-filled prayer. In Matthew 26, maybe this is illustrated, the one of the best ways is we find in Matthew 26 that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane talks about prayer and shows us the vital necessity of persistent faith in prayer. And He cometh unto His disciples, verse 40, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Verse 41. It says, and watch and pray, notice, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, all of us have the same problem. The flesh is lazy. The spirit wants to. The man on the inside that's brand new has a desire to know God, walk with God, want more of God, have everything, experience everything of God. But if we're always looking to our body and what our body feels, instead of telling our body to shut up and stop walking by what you feel like, instead of telling your body what it's going to do. See, you got to tell your body what it's going to do. I'm going to get up and go to church. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read. And you know what? This is not to gain favor and love from God. God's going to love and God give you favor anyway. But what this does is your prayer life and all this blesses you. It's for you. It's for you because it helps you to know God. And knowing God only helps you. So the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now notice the very first part of this verse telling us the powerful part of prayer. He says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. See, we have to understand that prayer helps and strengthens us in our time of need so we do not succumb to sin, temptation, the flesh, the world, and the devil. But we win, bless God, because we're strengthened through prayer. Hallelujah. And so notice we see Jesus said, watch and pray, enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When we go to verse 44, we find something very interesting. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. We know in the Garden of Gethsemane, three times Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done, Lord God. If this cup can pass from me, and if this can pass from me, if it can be done any other way, let it be done. But not my will, but your will be done. He prayed that three times. Sometimes you and I are going to have to, listen, this shows the value of persistence in prayer. Because what we find is, illustrates the necessity of persistence in prayer, not because, listen, that God is not answering, but it strengthens and helps us to stand steadfast in God's will for your life. Because let me tell you something. There are going to be some things that God asks you to do that your flesh is not going to want to do. And you're going to have to go back to God in prayer and say the same identical thing. Not my will, but your will be done. Some of you will realize this when you just get up and go to church on Wednesday night or Sunday morning or Wednesday night. You got that struggle. Well, I can tell you, until you pass that test, you just get up and before God, you might have to pray it 100 times before you settled it. There's no multiple choice. Now, listen, I realize there's people that work on Sundays and work on Wednesdays. They can't be here every time. But that's not everybody. I just know personally in our own life, 39 years ago, Pastor Debbie and I settled it. Not because we were pastors, but because we decided to be disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. That we needed what God had for us and we couldn't get it all ourselves. And so we found a local church called Cornerstone Fellowship Church that had pastors that taught us the Word of God. That we could sit and be trained and then go out and do what we learned. Amen. And we found out that there was times that with the things that we heard, we had to go back and say, God, not my will, not my will. This is not what I would want, but Lord, if this is what you want, I will do. Persistent, faith-filled prayer will hold you steadfast to the will of God and cause you to follow and know and follow the will of God for your life. So what we want to do is you see the importance of, we're talking about the importance of faith and prayer. And what are we talking about today? The church that walks with God. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you right now. The church that walks with God. Now, as we look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 7 and 8, Jesus asked two questions. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Well, the answer is to this is God faithful, is faithful in to hear an answer. It's illustrated by this. God is faithful to hear and answer our prayers. Those that persistently seek, ask, knock, he answers. So we see this, he answers this question, asks this question. But I want to focus primarily on verse 8 in this question that he asked. And I want to finish the rest of this message today answering this question. And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. So he answers that. And we know that. Nevertheless, here's the other question. And this is where we don't focus at. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth when he returns? Notice he didn't ask whether he'll find a crowd or not. He asked, will he find faith? That's what he's looking for. Amen. One translation says, will he find people who are fully engaged in faith when he comes? That's who he's looking for. He's looking for a people that's fully engaged in faith. Look at your neighbor and say, you're that person. Fully engaged in faith when he comes. Now, notice he asks, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find? Shall he find? The word find there, this Greek word, means a discovery resulting from an intense investigation or serious research. So in other words, what this is letting us know, this is not a casual observation. Jesus is looking. He's looking in our lives. He's looking beyond the surface. He's looking beyond the casual. He's looking at the intent of the heart and the actions in our lives. He is giving a intense investigation and a serious research. And what for? To find, will he find faith on the earth in the people that are his when he comes? And so I want to talk to you here as we progress in this thought about something that we should all know is faith's importance for the last day's church. Faith's importance for the last day's church. Hebrews 11:6, let's go through verses really quick. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God, for those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is so important, you can't even please God without him. So we better know what faith is. Faith is a living trust in Almighty God. Amen. And so we see here that faith, matter of fact, that one of the things that we need to understand is everything that we ever receive from God, you're going to receive by God's grace through your faith. So faith is important. Matter of fact, you cannot only please God, you can't receive anything without faith from God. That's how vital and how important. Don't let anybody ever play it down or say, pastor talks too much about that. No, there's a reason, because the importance of the last day church, Jesus said, he ain't looking for the crowd. He's looking whether we find faith on the earth when he returns. I'm going to say he's going to find it in you and I. I'm going to do my part to do everything that I can make sure that he finds it in me, and he's going to find it in this congregation if you will listen and obey as well. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, concerning the importance of faith in the last day church, says this: as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in him. And how did you receive him as Lord? Well, you received him by grace through faith. And so this is how we're going to walk with him. As you received him, is the same. So the same faith that got you saved is the same faith that keeps you saved. So this shows the importance of us knowing what faith is and walking in it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, so that we walk by faith and not by sight. There's four times, once in the Old Testament and three in the New Testament, it says the just shall live by faith, or God's righteous one or faithful one shall live by faith. So faith is something that we don't just have, it's something that we live by. Is something active in our life, and we must understand. So when it says we walk by faith, this word walk there, you could say it like this. What does it mean to walk by faith? It means the word walk there means to believe. It means to receive. It means to live by. We're to live by faith. We're to live by faith in what God's word says. Amen. And by what God's word said. Amen. Now, as we go back, now we already found out that one way we do this is through persistent faith and prayer. Our faith walk is a prayer walk as well. It has to do with our prayer life. It's a vital part. Prayer is a vital part with our walk with God. We found this because effective prayer, we find, is always based upon the Word of God. Amen. As its foundation. No wonder Jesus said, write these verses down in Matthew 24, verse 35. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Jeremiah 1:12 says, I watch over my word to perform it. Amen. And Jesus said in Matthew 15:17, write it down. He said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So this has to do with our prayer life, but we understand that our prayer life is built upon a foundation of the Word of God, or we have no accurate prayer life. Amen. So, as we go back and look at today in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, notice Luke 18, 8, he says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man come, shall he find faith on the earth?" Everybody say faith. The word faith there has an article in it. It means the faith. In other words, it's not just faith, it's the faith. In other words, the belief in the Scriptures, the unchanging teachings of the Scriptures. This is what this is talking about here. In other words, he's saying not just general faith, which a faith in God, but he's saying the faith. In other words, faith that is based upon the teachings of the Scripture. This means that's not something shallow. Now, I understand if you've just been saved for a short period of time, it is impossible for you to know what I know today. But you can get there. Amen. You can surely get there. If I can do it, you can do it. The point is you use what you got. God is not going to judge you on but what you don't know. Just use what you got. Don't worry about as much as what you don't have. Want more. Seek more. Amen. Learn more. But just know this. The things that you know, if you'll do, God will put you through. Praise the Lord. And so, the belief in the Scripture, the faith. Shall he find the faith on the earth? So it means the belief in the Scriptures, the unchanging teachings of the Scripture. This is the faith that is in question. And God is looking for in his people. He ain't looking for mental assent. A whole bunch of people that's just agreeing, saying, "Well, you know, I believe God. I come and I sit in the pew and the preacher should know it. I don't need to know anything." Come on, I'm not talking about some mentally assenting that we just mentally agree, but when the stuff hits the fan, we fall apart. No, we have to have a foundation based upon the Word of God that we stand. We stand upon the Word of God. We've allowed the Word of God to persuade our hearts and our mind that when the storm comes, not if it, but when it comes, we are strengthened. And even if we are moved, you come running back to a place where the Spirit of God can fill your sail again. It's called the local church, that the Spirit of God can breathe into your sail. And your sail may be all up around the pole, but all of a sudden the breath of God blows and the Word of God is heard, amen, and your sail is filled and you're back out in the course that God has for you, a course of victory, a course of triumph, a course sailing with the Word of God. You're not with a limp and a humpback, but you're rising up strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Hallelujah. It's a faith that is reflected in one's walk with God. It means a lifestyle based upon the foundation of the Word of God. It means you have a foundation that your life is being built upon. And you allow little by little the bricks that are placed in that teaches you the principles of God. You're one by one allowing them to build up a hedge or make a wall. And you're beginning to walk in those things. You're walking in the principles of your most holy faith. Hallelujah. The Passion Translation of this verse says, "Will he find persistent faithfulness in his people?" Will he find persistent faithfulness in his people? What are we talking about? The church that walks with God. That's what God is looking for. Persistent faithfulness in his people. Now let's look at this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. It's talking about a coming event. Matter of fact, it's talking about, whether we know it about it or not, it's the very next event on God's prophetic calendar. God has a prophetic calendar, a prophetic calendar. And the very next event that's on the prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. It will occur approximately somewhat about 7 years before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's talk about this, because Jesus is saying, will I find persistent faith on the earth before, when I return? He says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, Paul said, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the scripture, says, therefore comfort one another with these words. The message of the rapture is to be a one of comfort, of one of encouragement, of something that persuades us to remain faithful unto God. It reminds us of the importance of our walk with God and our persistence and our faithfulness in God's people. Amen. Now, as you go back to verse 15, I believe it. Verse 17 is where I want to be. And then we which are alive and remain. I want us to look at two words here. Ultimately, we'll look at three words here. Alive, remain, and caught up. One moment. So, first of all, we're going to look at this word alive and remain. I want to give you the Greek definition of this word, because it does not portray, everybody say does not. It does not portray a people who are simply physically alive. In other words, it does include that, but the Greek does not portray a people who are simply physically alive, but those who are engaged in their faith, that they are spiritually alive, spiritually robust, spiritually thriving, and spiritually vibrant, and spiritually vigorous. This is what this word alive. It doesn't just mean that we're alive physically. It implies, or actually means, all those other things spiritually, more than just physically alive. So in other words, spiritually robust. In other words, what we're saying is, who remain faithful to Him. Hallelujah. In other words, those that are spiritually vibrant and alive. In other words, what does that mean? Those that have living faith. Those that have living faith. This is why it's so important. This is why faith is not just a one and done thing, or just something that we casually talk about or think about. It's something that is important. It's a day in and day out. It's about our walk with God, a living faith. Just like we have a living Savior, we have a living faith. Come on, get an amen in here today. But notice the word remain. The word remain also, this word means, this word remain means, it says unto, remain unto the alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. This word implies a remaining remnant, a remaining faithful ones. This word implies, just like in the Old Testament, many times you read about in the children of Israel, there was a remnant of those that were actually have living and vibrant faith compared to the backslidden and those that have gone wayward away from God and were worshiping idols and had gone their own way. It repeatedly talked about a remnant who had a living faith in God, that God moved on their behalf. Remember Elijah, when he cried out to God in the cave and said, God, I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me. God reminded him, I got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. I have a remnant. And I can tell you, this scripture, this word remain, implies remaining faithful ones. In other words, it is implying that the end of the church age, there could be so much going on that there's people that have been moved from their faith, away. Some shall have depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. It could be so shaken in their faith that they moved away from it. Yet God says, I'm coming for the alive, the spiritual alive, and the remaining, and them that remain. In other words, the remaining faithful remnant of God. Remaining faithful ones. Remain. Will he find, in other words, will he find a persistent, continuing, faithful, and faith-filled people who truly walk with him? In other words, it just means authentic believers. Now relax one minute. You become a believer the same way I became a believer, and that's through your faith in Jesus Christ. It's all by grace through faith. And it's all about you wanting Jesus Christ and wanting to live for him. It's not talking about you being perfect and knowing everything. It means this, that your heart is given over to him and you're pursuing him and wanting him. Wherever you find yourself at today, I can tell you I'm further along than I was 39 years ago. I would not be a living one, but I'm a living one. And I'm teaching you how that God says all of us in here can be this. What's in your heart today? Do you want more of him? Or are you just barely trying to get along or get by? No. We should want more of him. And it has to do with our walk with God. Turn with me to Hebrews 11:5, please. Notice 11:5, it says this. By faith, let's read verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I find it very interesting. Everybody knows what comes before number 6. Number 5. Amen. What comes after number 5? Number 6. Amen. So I find it very interesting that God, when he told his people today that without faith is impossible to please God, for those that come to him must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, he put verse 5 first. And it says this, look at what it says, who this talks about. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? Through faith. And what did he have? He had a walk with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He pleased God. He pleased God. And you say, well, he walked with God. Well, when we turn back to Genesis where this tells us about, listen. You think, what are you talking about Enoch for? Because what are we talking about today? What are we talking about? The church that walks with God. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and he begat sons and daughters. Note everybody say he walked with God. Now let's read verse 24. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. The word walked with would do us well to understand the simplicity, yet the gravity of it. This Hebrew word walk means to figuratively apply to the characteristics of one's lifestyle, as well as an individual's continual relationship with God. So in other words, the moment that we start walking with God is not over. We continue to walk with God day in and day out. It's a continual relationship with God. And it's applied to one's lifestyle. It is, in the good news, I'm going to read that again. Figuratively applied to the characteristics of one's lifestyle, as well as an individual's continual relationship with God. This is what this word, Hebrew word, walk, means. The good news to this, all this, we read about Enoch. It was there for us to know something about. It says, Enoch walked with God and God took him. It says, he pleased God. So that means to me, if I can do what Enoch did, I can please God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So a walk with God and a walk of faith is what pleases God. And it says, God took him. And you know what? I want you to know, many times we read verses like this and say, oh, he must have done this and he must have done this. Oh, he must. Well, the scripture tells us exactly what he did. I'm here today to tell you this is attainable. Our walk with God, just like Enoch's walk with God, is attainable for every New Testament believer, because this same walk that he had, we can have a little butter walk, bless God, because the covenant is in the New Testament is built upon butter promises. And by the way, just so that you know how we can do this, why did God give us eternal life anyway? In John chapter 17, verse 3, here's what it says: and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. Eternal life was given so that you and I may know God. And the word know means to intimately know, to know by experience. To be so closely intertwined. Man, let me tell you something. You can't be more intertwined than him living in you, baby. Come on. He lives in you as you. See, you got to wake up to that. Stop listening to your body and to your mind that tells you. But he lives in you. He's closely intertwined. And that we may know him. We can know, intimately know and experience. Eternal life was given so that we could know and walk with God. Hallelujah. Just like Enoch did. Enoch is a type of the church. Types and shadows. God said, I wish, one of the three things that God said in the New Testament, he said to us, I will you not be ignorant of. And one of them was the types and shadows of the Old Testament. How Enoch was a type of the church. How we're to know him and walk with God. When we know God's nature and character, we want to walk with him. We need to know he's a good God. If he's for us and not against us, if he lives in us, he will bless us and keep us. Will make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Will lift up his countenance to give us and give us peace. Come on, he's not against you. He's for you, bless God. All these things, our walk with God is inspired. We can know him and we can know his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger thou not heed. And we can know his direction for our lives. And here's the awesome thing, is that we can know what he's doing and what he's about to do. Let me tell you something. The Spirit of God was given to us so that we can know what he's doing and what he's about to do. The sons of Issachar knew what they ought, they knew what time it was and what they ought to be doing. How much more the sons of God in the New Testament. And I find it so wonderful that even after it talks about Enoch Hebrews 11:5, once again, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is the kind of faith that these verses are speaking about in pleasing God. Just walking with God. And you are. Genesis 5:24 says that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. The Hebrew word there means to take, to carry away, and to receive. Enoch is a picture of the church, and he's the first rapture in the church, but not the only one. Elijah was a raptured and taken to heaven. Jesus was raptured, and the church will be raptured. Jesus talked about this. He reminded his disciples of this in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. In 1 Thessalonians, and back in chapter 4, verse 17, as I prepare to close today, as we have addressed, then we which are alive, talking about those spiritually vibrant, alive, and remain. It implies a living, faithful remnant at the time that trumpet will sound. That's what God is looking for. People with vibrant faith. People that are alive and love him. You may not be perfected in everything. You just got to be hungry for God. You just got to be walking with God. It's not hard. It's the intentionality day in and day out. You know He's your Lord. You know He's your Savior. And you seek Him. You call Him Lord. And those that alive remain shall be caught up. Everybody say caught up. To meet the Lord in the clouds. He's going to come in the clouds for the church. Listen, the rapture is different than the second coming, church. The second for the rapture, he catches us up in the clouds to meet Him in the air. And there we're with Him in heaven. But in second coming, we come back with Him to the earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's two different events, two different purposes. And we see the word caught up, the words caught up are translated from the form of the Greek word harpazo, which undeniably means to catch, to seize, to take away, or to snatch suddenly. It is the equivalent of the Hebrew took, which means to take, to carry away, or to receive, as in Enoch's life. This Greek word pictures a snatching someone out of danger just in the nick of time. Woo! Glory to God. I can tell you, come Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say come. I know we got a work to do, and I'm working, and I'm getting us prepared to work in His vineyard, and to be, but we're going to be ready when that trumpet sounds. I want to see every one of your hind parts in heaven with me, bless God. Ask your neighbor and say, is your bahunkas going to be there? Praise God. You know what I'm talking about. And see where a lot of times people say, well, I don't believe in the rapture. All due respect. Listen, I don't believe in because the rapture isn't in the Bible. Did you know the Bible, the word Bible and the word grandfather ain't in the Bible either? But it don't mean that it's not in there. So the word rapture isn't in the Bible by name, but it is by definition and by description. It is by definition and by description. The first ever translation of the Greek scriptures into the Latin language was carried out by Jerome at about 390 A.D. when he translated what was known as the Vulgate translation of the Bible. Jerome's translation of this word caught up is where we get the word rapture from. The Latin word for rapimur, both Latin, I can't pronounce them, but it's spelled R-A-P-I-E-M-U-R. Both the Latin rapimur and the Greek harpazo means the same, and picture suddenly snatching someone out of a dangerous situation or suddenly snatching someone out of danger just in the nick of time. In other words, what you have to understand is the rapture or this being caught up describes perfectly the divine rescue operation that God will use to evacuate His ambassadors, His church, suddenly and supernaturally transporting it to heaven before the wrath of God is poured out upon an unbelieving and a godless world. That will happen after the rapture of the church, known as the last 7 years or the 7 years of tribulation. It's Daniel's 70th week is the times of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. The church will not be here. You don't see the church in the book of Revelation. You do not see the church after verse 1 of Revelation 4 in the earth, in heaven. Chapters 1 through 3, it talks about the church. Chapters 5 through 19, it's not there. We see in that chapter 19, the church coming back with Christ to the earth and His second coming. Don't be confused, church. I don't have time to do an in-depth study on it. I do in other teachings. But we have to understand that even in this natural world, if we have ambassadors all over the world, if we were going to bomb another nation, we first thing we do is pull our ambassadors out, because we don't bomb our people with the enemy. Come on. God, before He brings judgment that He foretells in the day of the Lord, in the tribulation period, before that happens, He's going to evacuate His ambassadors. It's called the rapture of the church, where He marvelously and swiftly, in a rescue operation, delivers His people from the danger that's about to come. And it could look so dangerous upon this earth that we actually think that we're actually in the tribulation. But we're not. Because God will catch us marvelously and swiftly away before. The church that walks with God will be marked by this: a people of the Word. A people living and walking by faith in God's Word. This is why we have to be a people of the Word. Let me tell you something. We find that this is illustrated both Old and New Testament. One of the things that we find, and I don't have time to teach all of this, but when the children of Israel were taken captive in Babylon and the temple was destroyed, you know, much of their faith was built around the temple. And it was destroyed. When they went into exile, their faith was designed to be destroyed. But it was there that they became people of the book. They became people of the law, or the book again. They found the scriptures where it was written, and they became, in other words, they brought their faith back to the Word of God. And this is what God intended all along, that we be people of the book. We be people of the Word of God. And people that are faith are going to be the last day church. The last day church is going to be a people that is marked by their faith in God's Word. It's going to be a people of the Word, living and walking by faith in God's Word. True faith in and reliance upon the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also going to be marked by the church that walks with God. Will be a people marked by prayer. I'm so thankful for all the prayer groups in this church. I'm so thankful for all the prayer groups in this church. I know you pray individually, but it's something about corporate prayer. Even today is the Spirit of God. Pastor Debbie didn't know what I'm preaching today. And the Spirit of God orchestrated that God hears, and He comes. He hears our prayers individually, but He hears us corporately. It's something about that's beautiful in His sight, that we trust Him together for the lost and for the lives of people. But we find that the church that walks with God, we find there will be a people of the Word, that faith in God's Word, but a people of prayer. It's no longer a duty, but about a relationship. To know what, it's about getting on our hands and knees and knowing what God is saying and doing. Because if you're like me, you can sense we ain't got much time, church. Whether we got a month, a year, 2 years, I don't know. But when that trumpet sounds, I'm going to go up. But until it goes up, I'm going to be actively engaged in my faith to make sure that we're winning the lost and we're discipling believers and people hearing the truth and having their hearts prepared so they can know and walk with God and not left behind, bless God. A people of prayer, to know what God is saying and doing, to establish His will in and through our lives. He wants to establish His will in our lives. He wants to establish His will through our lives as we pray and we act. And I think about Dr. Gary Wood, who stood in this pulpit, both in the old church and this church. He's in heaven now. He died at the age of 18. He was killed in an automobile accident, and that snowy night on his college break, His car rammed into a logging truck that was illegally parked on the side of the road, and his car crashed into that and severed his esophagus, killing him instantly. And there in heaven, Jesus visited him, told him, "Your work is not done back on earth. I'm sending you back." But he gave him a message, and among other things, he says, "You tell the church that when you go back, before I return, there will be a spirit of prayer upon the church. A spirit of prayer upon the church. A spirit of prayer upon the church before I return." He said there will be a spirit of restoration and there will be an outburst of miracles. I think about this, and for our time's sake, this spirit of prayer, how I see the urgency. I see the Tom Wathans. I see the Linda Fitchetts, and the names go on and on. I see the people that week in and week out either lead or come and pray. Amen. In the groups. And I don't have time to listen to them all, but I hear what they say. And they sense in the same thing. The time is short. It's no longer time to play a game. Oh yes, live life to its fullest. Enjoy life, but do it in Jesus and make every moment count for Him. Everything we do, do with purpose and tell people about Him. Come, whoever's going to help me today, Sister Teresa, thank you. Amen. And matter of fact, the whole praise and worship team could come, but you play right now. I know we're going to receive communion in just one moment. I want to give us, listen to me in closing, what we're talking about today. Jesus asked the question, will He find faith on the earth? But the real question is, will He find faith in us? Will He find faith in us? And yet, for I know that for the majority of people in here, I'm confident that He will find a living, vibrant faith in you. But you know what? Our whole purpose of existence is to win and disciple people to Christ. And it's not just enough that our faith is vibrant. We're here today to set other people on fire. We're here today to give other people that opportunity to have a walk, a close walk in a relationship with God. To let people know that if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, God is bidding you to a walk with Him. It's not hard. If I can walk with God, you can walk with God. But it begins by a relationship with Jesus Christ. And relax, many people think that they can't do this, but you can do this once you come to Him. Listen, once you come to Him and surrender your heart to Him, He changes you from the inside out. He gives you the want to know Him, to walk with Him. And He changes you. He takes the sin out and gives you His nature and gives you His want to. See, all of us, or many of us in here today, like fishing. But you never seen a person clean a fish before they caught it. Many times people are waiting. They say, "Well, I'll come to God one day, but I just feel like I've got to get myself straight. I've got to clean myself up." No, you're doing it all the wrong way. You come to God. You let Him catch you, and He'll clean you up. You don't have to give up anything except your heart. And when you give up your heart to Him, and you surrender to Him and make Him Lord, from that place, you can walk with Him. He'll deal with you about the things of how to walk closely with Him. The thing that He wants is you, your heart. So many times people think, "I got to give up this, I got to give up that." Yeah, you're going to give up sin and you're going to give up all those things, but you got to give up your heart first, because it's impossible for you to clean yourself up. You got to let Him come in and change you. And from that place, He'll work and give you the want to live for Him. And the things that He wants to do will reveal. He'll cause such a hunger and thirst for Him and a walk with Him that it will not be hard to say no to the things that abound you. This is your answer of freedom. This is your answer to know that you can be alive and remain and be caught up. That you can walk with Him. If you're today and you've never made Him the Lord of your life, I invite you.